Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Friday afternoon, free for all Friday, the beginning of a long Labor Day weekend for many of you. If you are traveling and if you start to lose the station, you know, you can just download the Odyssey app on your phone. A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's free. Download the Odyssey app and you can just listen on your phone if you are traveling to the east, west, north. Well, if you're in a boat, you'd be traveling to the south. But other than that, you're traveling north, east, or west. Many of you to the east, to the beaches. You can put down the Odyssey app on your phone and follow us the whole way. But we appreciate those of you who are taking us with you on your ride. Yeah, we got some politics to talk about. But, I mean, some of the stuff is so outrageous that it is actually kind of funny. It's kind of comical. I want to talk about this tendency that people have to believe Donald Trump's most obnoxious lies. And boy, we just had another example of a caller who is once again, you know, digging around in these weird, dark, ultra right-wing conservative, radical right-wing people, these websites, finding stuff that is either totally exaggerated or not true. And I can't have these people calling up, warning people about something if it doesn't really exist. And then these people get surprised that I call them on it. I mean, seriously, it's just it's really discouraging that there are people who are going to vote who just don't have it all together. And they don't even care to have it all together. But we're going to talk about, one of the more, recent lies. One of the most recent lies that Donald Trump has continued to repeat over and over again. And there are people who just, if you hear something enough, even though it's a lie, you don't look beyond what the person is saying because you honor Donald Trump so much, for example, that you believe whatever he says, even though it's not true. So we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Also, I think this is a really great moment when Governor Jeff Landry's been kind of put in his place. He's a right-wing radical. He was a right-wing radical as attorney general. And I said, I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not going to call him a right-wing radical until he proves it as governor. Well, he's proven he's a right-wing radical. I think he's looking for something bigger than being governor of Louisiana. I don't know if he has the personality. I don't know if that Cajun accent's going to work. I don't know if he has what it takes to be a national political figure. I don't think he does. I could be wrong. But boy, he's sure digging in hard and trying. And I think we're going to start to see a trend away from domination of right-wing radicals. Not that they totally dominate, but in their minds they do. The right-wing radicals make a lot of noise. They're dominant on the right, but I think we're going to see a lessening of the impact of right-wing radicals over the next year or so. But we'll see if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'll be here to say, hey, you know what? I was wrong about that. But we'll see how that plays out. But Jeff Landry, I think he wants something bigger. So back in April, when LSU's basketball team was in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem and Iowa's basketball team was out on the court, Jeff Landry comes up with this idea of, well, we're going to have a new policy and we're going to require that all Louisiana athletes are on the court or on the field during the playing of the national anthem. And if not, they're going to lose their athletic scholarships. Well, LSU said, guess what, Governor? I mean, they didn't say it in that way, but essentially they said, guess what, Governor? It's our routine to be in the locker room during the playing of the national anthem. And that's where we're going to be Sunday in Las Vegas. So at this point, they're going to be in the locker room. And nobody's going to lose their athletic scholarships. And again, what Governor Landry's doing is he's just trying to promote this false sense of patriotism. Like the team being in the locker room and not being on the floor or on the field, whichever it is, for the playing of the national anthem is somehow unpatriotic. It's not. They're in a routine. This has been their routine. Let them stay with their routine. And the fact that they're not there doesn't mean that they don't respect the flag. If you want to comment on that, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, this weekend is the anniversary of the Labor Day weekend New Orleans Pop Festival in 1969. And a lot of our bumper music today is from the bands and the artists that were performing at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969, in Prairieville, Louisiana. I was there. In fact, I'm going to share a story with you this hour about a moment that I look back on this, and I think this was maybe my first encounter with a rock star, with a rock celebrity. And over the years of my career, I've met so many people. This was before I was in radio, but I had an encounter with one of the rockers at the New Orleans Pop Festival. I'll share that story with you coming up. And if any of you were there, you want to share your thoughts on that, the Okunard Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. Last night on CNN, Vice President Kamala Harris defended moving to the political center on key issues in her first interview of her presidential campaign.
Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris wanted to come across as calm, confident, and competent, answering questions that she hadn't necessarily been asked from her stump speeches. She had to tackle issues like her reversal on fracking and challenges at the southern border. She said, look, on fracking, I might have said in 2019 that I wanted to ban it, but that's no longer the case. I now see that you don't need to ban fracking to address climate change. She said that there need to be consequences if people cross the border illegally. She kind of stepped back and decided to make this race one in which she is trying to assert a way forward by investing more in the middle class, finding a way to resolve the situation in Israel and Gaza, and less openly about herself. It's an effort to draw a contrast with Republican Donald Trump.
Hey, you know, sometimes politicians decide that what they believed was wrong. I mean, look at Donald Trump. He changed his mind about a lot of things. So it's okay if Kamala Harris changes her mind. And look, if you want her to be for fracking, and now she's for fracking, why would you criticize her for changing her mind? Donald Trump changed his mind on a lot of things. CBS campaign reporter Nadia Cavazos says that Harris sounds like she's more of a law and order kind of person when it comes to the southern border.
She intends for there to be consequences for any illegal activity going on at the border. She also made the case that she's the only presidential candidate that has actually prosecuted criminal organizations with her background as a prosecutor. So what we now see is that she is for more border security, and this is a significant change to what she was running on back in 2019.
Tim Walz, her vice presidential running mate, did not give a direct answer when he was asked if he misspoke about his record with the National Guard.
He instead steered the conversation over to, as voters continue to get to know him, they're going to see that he is just like them, he speaks like them, and is very candid about different issues. So when asked directly if he had misspoken, we didn't necessarily get a yes or a no, but instead he said that his record speaks for himself, including his military service.
You know, that's good, but he didn't carry a weapon in war, and he should just own up to that and bring it to an end. Just bring that conversation to an end. Donald Trump, this was a shocker. I mean, I heard this yesterday. Donald Trump is appearing to embrace socialized medicine when he says this about IVF treatments.
Campaigning Thursday, former President Donald Trump doubled down on his support for IVF treatments.
Government is going to pay for it, or we're going to get or mandate your insurance company to pay for it.
When Alabama's state Supreme Court briefly outlawed the procedures, ruling that frozen embryos can be considered children, Trump was quick to counter that position.
We want to produce babies in this country, right?
The Republican nominee says if he wins back the White House, families will be able to deduct expenses for newborn care from their taxes. And in an interview with NBC, he suggests he will vote to repeal Florida's six-week abortion ban. Democrats and groups defending abortion access say Trump's attempts to establish himself as a moderate on reproductive rights are hypocritical. people. Kamala Harris campaign spokesperson Serafina Chitika says Trump shouldn't be believed, while the group Reproductive Freedom for All says Trump knows how unpopular attacks on fertility treatments are. Back in June, Senate Republicans blocked legislation that would have made it a right nationwide for women to access IVF. Jennifer King, Washington.
All right. So for those of you who think, well, Kamala Harris is just saying these things to get votes, Donald Trump is just saying things to get votes. This is not unique to one side or the other. And I agree with Donald Trump when it comes to IVF treatments. You know, I think the Alabama Supreme Court was wrong when it ruled what it ruled. All right. At a town hall in Wisconsin with Tulsi Gabbard, a former presidential candidate, Donald Trump said that Kamala Harris didn't look so presidential last night.
It was a taped. We're doing it live. Why are we doing it live and she's doing it taped? But
that's right. He's real.
But she was sitting behind that desk, this massive desk, and she didn't look like a leader to me, I'll be honest. I don't see her negotiating with President Xi of China.
Okay, let's set the record straight here. This is not bashing Trump. This is standing up for the truth. Donald Trump has done, and I assume will continue to do, countless pre-recorded interviews. Many, many of the interviews you've seen with Donald Trump have been pre-recorded. That's just for the record. Donald Trump also insisted that he's not weird, and neither is his running mate.
They always have sound bites, and one of the things is that JD and I are weird. What the heck? That guy is so straight. JD is so, he's doing a great job, smart, top student, great guy, and he's not weird, and I'm not weird. I mean, we're a lot of things, we're not weird, I will tell you. But that guy is weird, don't you think?
You know, I think it's a compliment if somebody says I'm weird. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to your calls coming up. Also, we've got some text messages stacking up. And also coming up, you know, if you're going to vote for Trump, fine. This is America. You can vote for whoever you want to vote for. What I have a problem with is respecting people who believe Donald Trump's lies. If you want to vote for Trump and you don't believe his lies, well, that's one thing. But if you're going to vote for Donald Trump and you believe his blatant, obnoxious lies, I've got a hard time respecting you because these lies are so easily disproven. So, you know, we're going to explain that here in just a moment with one of Donald Trump's latest lies. If you're on hold, stay with us. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. The New Orleans Pop Festival happened on this this weekend, Labor Day weekend, 1969. I was there. I was drunk on Jim Beam and Fresca, and I was passed out in the back of a car, my car that I'd driven there, passed out in the back. It was the horns of Big Brother the Holding Company, Janis Joplin and Big Brother the Holding Company, that woke me up. And had those horns not awakened me, I would have slept or been passed out through Janis Joplin. So that's what woke me up. I got up to see her. I think I missed a few bands while I was passed out. Not one of my crowning moments in life. I'm not proud of it, but it was one of my memories of the New Orleans Pop Festival. All right, coming up, I'll tell you a story about I believe it's my first encounter with a rock star. And I've met many over the years, but I think this was my first encounter with a rock star. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a song that was just such a reflection of the ambiance of the New Orleans Pop Festival and Woodstock. The Young Bloods get together, you know, the Pop Festival, which happened, New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969. It was about coming together. It was about brotherhood and sisterhood. And a young generation, the baby boomer generation back then, was very much in favor of equality and not judging people. That generation changed over the years, but that's a topic for another show. But this weekend in 1969 at the New Orleans Pop Festival, we came together to celebrate peace, love, and music. And I had wandered from, we had a blanket set out. I was with a group of people, and I drove up there, and I wandered away from the blanket, and I got up against the fence that was the fence area between the audience and the backstage area. And I happened to notice that Jesse Colin Young, the lead singer of the Youngbloods, was kind of standing right there. And I started a conversation with him. And I think this was my first encounter, long before I was in radio, my first encounter with a rock star. And for whatever reason, I was able to get his attention. And I asked him, I said, hey, you want to go have a beer with us? And to my surprise, he said, yeah, sure. So here I bring Jesse Colin Young over to our blanket. I'm going, hey, guys, this is Jesse Colin Young, the lead singer of the Youngbloods. And like all my friends were like going, dude, how did you get this guy over here? And so it was just a really, really cool moment. And then later when they performed at night, Ian, play the song again. Let the song go up again. Get together. Later when they performed, it was dark. There was a light rain. And fireworks were going off in the background. And man, this is one of my vivid, vivid memories of the New Orleans Pop Festival. Because, you know, part of it, I was kind of intoxicated. But I totally remember this moment when the Youngbloods played. And there was just something special about the light rain and the fireworks. And this idea that we should all come together. Come on. People now, smile on your brother. It was a nice thought at the time. I'm Scoot on the air. All right, so before I get to your calls and before we get to your text messages, is it true that if you repeat a lie enough, people will believe it? Obviously, former President Donald Trump and many of his followers believe that lies that are repeated over and over again are true, are valid, even though those lies can be proven false. At a rally in Michigan this week, Donald Trump repeated a big lie that Democrats support killing babies after they have been born, and that six states actually allow the killing of newborn babies. That is such a crock. It's such a ridiculous lie. It's hard to believe that any Trump supporter would even believe that, but some do. I mean, here's exactly what Donald Trump said at the rally in Michigan. I was just telling this reporter the real problem and the real radicals on the issue of abortion are Democrats, where you can have an abortion in the ninth month. And in six states, you're allowed to kill the baby after the baby is born. And you know, one of those states is Minnesota, where this tampon Tim comes from. Trump finished the conversation about abortion by repeating, quote, you're allowed to execute the baby. It's one thing for Trump to make a stupid statement. But the real tragedy is that many voters who support him actually believe the lie and other lies that he's told. I know there are conservative Republicans who are planning to vote for Trump because he's a Republican or because they believe his policies. And they think that the policies of Kamala Harris are just too liberal for their liking. I can respect those Trump voters. But it's very difficult for me to respect the Trump voters who actually believe the insane lies that he tells. One of the scariest things in this country today is the American voter who believes anything their candidate, Trump or Harris, says. It's true that all politicians lie. But the lies that Donald Trump tells his followers are outrageous and so easily proven false that it should be frightening to every American that many of these voters will go to the polls believing these laughable lies. Trump knows he's lying. And if he tells his followers something that he knows is a lie, and he knows they'll believe it, then it's almost like Trump is casting a spell on them. Trump did name Minnesota as one of the six states that allows babies to be killed after they have been born, which is a false statement because Minnesota does not allow that. And Trump refuses to name the other five states. And here's a fact. A fact. No state allows a baby to be killed after it has been born. I mean, what kind of conversation would go on in the operating room if babies could be killed after they were born? There's a mother. There's a doctor. The mother just gives birth after carrying her baby to full term. The doctor says, well, you've just given birth to a healthy child. What do you want to do? I mean, do you want to keep it? Do you want to take it home? Or do you just want us to kill it? The woman responds, doctor, you know, my husband and I, you know, we wanted this baby, but honestly, after 9 months of carrying it around, I think we've decided to go to Hawaii instead. So go ahead and kill it. Do you think that's a conversation that takes place? That's what Donald Trump is implying. I mean, is this a decision-making conversation? Of course not. The idea of making a conscious decision to kill a baby after birth is ludicrous, and yet Donald Trump has told that lie often enough that people believe him. And that should scare the blank out of you. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Terry and Slidell. Terry, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Good afternoon, Scoot. LSU football Sunday night.
Love it.
And the national anthem is being played, and Coach Kelly's keeping his team in the locker room and telling that idiot governor we got to put it where the sun don't shine. Does he realize he can't take the scholarships away from an LSU football player?
No.
Because we don't get LSU's athletics. It's self-sufficient. They pay for it themselves. They don't get money from the state of Louisiana. Does he also know that he's running his mouth like that is going to cost LSU football players? Why should I go to LSU? I can get $100,000 going to Alabama in my NIL, and I don't have to worry about the idiot governor that you got over there.
I mean, that was just
an idiot.
As soon as he said it, Terry, I thought, man, this is just totally ridiculous. And this is going to come back to haunt him, and it already has. Coach Kelly says, we're going to follow our routine. An LSU athletic director says, we're going to follow the routine. The LSU players will be in the locker room. And I dare anybody to suggest that that is not respecting the flag. That's what they do. And it's a false sense of patriotism saying, well, you got to be out on the field. I mean, you got to be there with the flag. I mean, if you're not with the flag, then you must not be an American. You must not be very patriotic. You know, that's what Landry's saying. And that's ridiculous. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Scoop. You said you looked at that Kamala interview last night.
Yeah.
Well, she insults the intelligence of the American people when she talks. It's just ridiculous. Dana Bash let her go with them softball interview like that, and you can stick a fork in her because she's done.
You think
the
so?
Chameleon is done.
Well, Joe, if you're wrong, will you call me after the election and admit that you were wrong?
Positively.
Okay.
Positively. And if I'm right, will you say Trump Jr. was right?
Right about what?
Right about my prediction that
she's
not just going to lose.
It's
going to be a landslide victory for Trump.
Okay, I'll say you were right. I mean, I haven't said who's going to win yet because I don't know who's going to win. It's too close for me to call.
One other thing. I know that man Eon, he's a very intelligent man. He's supposed to be the producer of this show.
He's not supposed to be. He is.
Y'all have a three-hour show.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how many times you say right-wing radicals. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's all you say, right-wing radical. Yeah. What about the left wing?
Yeah, we talk about that, too. I'm sorry you don't hear it. I've said left-wing radicals many times.
I'm listening. You even said the other
You're
day,
not,
you know,
I,
Joe.
I didn't you say
know,
you were
one of our regular callers. Guess what? I'm a retired guy, you know, sitting at home.
Okay.
I enjoy the show. But, I mean, I'm not going to just let people think I'm a complete idiot.
Well, no, you know, you can prove that yourself if you want to. I mean, freedom of speech gives people the ability to explain exactly who they are. And I don't form the opinions that people have of you who text into the show. I don't form those opinions.
And Scoot, one other thing. You've been saying this for a long time. Vice presidents have no, they don't do anything. Well, guess what? You're 100% wrong, because Miss Kamala Chameleon, she cast the deciding vote on a Green New Deal for billions and billions of dollars, and she also cast the deciding vote on several other things that Joe Biden spent ridiculous money on. So don't say a vice president can't do something, because she did something.
Well, Joe, when you and people say that it's about her policies, my point is relative to the fact that vice presidents don't have policies. But you're right about that. I mean, there is that function of the vice president, but she doesn't have policies. And she's being attacked for her policies. And that's the part that I really don't I don't understand. So, as I have said, all opinions are welcome on our show. I'm glad you have a chance to call in. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Do we have a chance for you want to wait on the text? I can wait on the text. Okay, let's wait on the we're going to get to some text after we come back. We'll go to the break now and come back with more. Hey, if you haven't heard last night, man, Tulane had a squeaker. Last night at Yeoman Stadium, they beat Southeastern 52-0. Now, look, Southeastern, they've had a very reputable football program. And it's just that Tulane was just really, really good last night. And boy, they had their you-know-what together. So this is really great for Tulane. But, don't be down on Southeastern. They can still have a very, very good season. So if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls. Also, when we come back, we'll get to some of your text messages. All right, here's a song from one of the bands that performed at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969. Iron Butterfly was here, and they played this song. And I remember taking this really cute date to like a sweetheart dance or something. And the band played Inagata Davida. And, we're kind of slow dancing up to this point. And we're, slow dancing and, everything's fine. And then, that part comes where there's nothing you can do. It's about to happen here. It's coming up. The song is 17 minutes long. And it's really known for its drum solo. So, we're slow dancing, and then you just got to stand there and just look at each other. And I didn't know her that well to do anything other than just look at her at the time. And then this part comes, and you're just kind of, standing around. Anyway, this is the part that made the song famous. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're coming back with more. It's Free for All Friday, Labor Day weekend on WWL. Very early in my radio career, I remember playing songs from this album. On the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar on this day in 1975, Rod Stewart's fifth album went to number one on the UK charts. It was titled Atlantic Crossing. This started off on this day in 1975 as the number one album. It stayed number one for 5 weeks. This was really interesting because Rod Stewart decided, because of an 83% top rate income tax introduced by the British Labour Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, that he was going to move to Los Angeles. So Atlantic Crossing was about the Atlantic Crossing. And on that album, he had a couple of cover songs. This was a cover song. I think the Isley Brothers did this originally. And he also had a cover of Drift Away by Dobie Gray. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's do this. Let's get to a few of the text messages, which I know have been building up. So we'll get to Ian now with some of your text messages, then right back with some of your calls.
Here's a text that says, Harris's flip-flop on fracking is meaningless. The environmental nuts in her party will continue to fight it in the courts at every turn.
Well, that's true, but there are the environmental nuts, the left-wing radicals, which we do talk about on this show. The left-wing radicals, they don't make as much noise as the right-wing radicals, but there are not enough of them to affect the outcome of the election. So Kamala Harris should not suck up to the progressives or the left-wing radicals. She should try to be more mainstream if she wants to win.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, you're lying again. There are six states that have no... Oh, shoot, where'd it go? Just moved around there a second. There are six states that have no gestational limits on abortion. That doesn't mean you can kill the baby after it's born, dummy.
Because after the baby's born, it's a person. So you can't kill a baby after it's born. So no state, I'm going to repeat it again, no state. Again, this is like distorted misinformation that, you know, people want to come up to counter some of the things that we say. But no state allows the killing of a baby after it's been born.
That's not even like a donut hole.
No.
Like, oops, accidentally we made that law. Like, no. There is a law, the Born Alive Bill, which became law in 2002, that says any infant born alive must be provided medical care. Must be. That is the law in 50 states. So if a baby is born, it exits the womb, or there's a cesarean section or whatever, the baby must be given care.
There's a chronic complainer on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And I don't feel
that... army of them.
Well, they're right. But one of them, her name is Jan. And by her picture, she looks like an attractive woman. I don't want to give out her last name. I mean, I could, but I just don't feel like, doing that. I'll just keep it to Jan. I'll be respectful and keep it to Jan. But Jan keeps telling me that I'm lying, but she's not giving me any lie that I've actually told on the air. So, you know, I'm a little tired of that, you know, if you disagree with me, if I say something that you don't like, that's not a lie. We don't lie on this show. We don't tell lies on this show. And if you can think of a lie that I've told, please let me know. And I know this is frustrating because people like Jan can't come up with a lie, but they're so quick to say, you're a liar. Well, come on, Jan. What's the lie that I've told?
Here's a text about the CNN interview that says, the CNN interview was informative and coherent. The vice president showed everyone how to answer questions with grace and sufficient information that's expected of a vice president. Those MAGA folks calling for a vice presidential interview were not interested in facts or her platform. Facts go against their mental capacity. They're looking for talking points. And I predict that MAGA supporters will continue to gripe because that's what they do. Compare the vice president's interview to Trump's answers regarding his disrespect at Arlington National Cemetery, one of the most sacred places in the United States. The man lacks any moral integrity. He used his visit there in a campaign ad, something that's prohibited. As a veteran with friends, family interred in national ceremonies, Trump should never be allowed to set foot on such hallowed grounds for what he's said about veterans.
Yeah, and now he's trying to backtrack and blame it on somebody else.
He's trying to blame it on the families, man. I didn't have that on my bingo card. You're going to turn around and blame it on the Gold Star families that invited you there in the first place? He's sick.
Yeah, he really, there's some demented side of Donald Trump. And, you know, it would have been so classy for him to go do that. No pictures. And for him to come back and say, I laid a wreath on this grave.
Yeah.
And we did not take pictures because it's not allowed. And I did not want to disrespect the soldiers who are buried there. So we did not take pictures, but I just wanted to let you know that I did this. That would have been a really classy thing to do, but Donald Trump can't seem to work his way into doing something classy.
I'll leave you with this one. The rain is forecast for Decadence Weekend. It'll cool things down, but it'll play hell with the feather boa community. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Pity anybody who's out there wearing a feather boa in the rain.
Decadence Weekend is this weekend. And hey, don't freak out. They're not coming to your neighborhood. If you don't want to go, don't go. But, you know, don't criticize them for doing it. You don't have to be part of it. And if you're trying to tell them not to do it, then look yourself in the mirror and realize that you're one of those Americans that is trying to tell other Americans how to lead their lives.
They absolutely will be coming to my neighborhood. I'm afraid they'll be all over the place in my neighborhood. It's
going to
get nuts over there. It's going to get crazy.
If you live in the French Quarter, you can expect that sort of thing.
I signed up for that.
Yeah, you did.
I'll be all right.
All right, so Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, there's a bear story where he, you know, got the bear. There was a bear that was hit, and then he brought it to Central Park, and he was going to skin it, and then he was going to put the meat in his refrigerator because it's okay to, if a bear is killed by a car, if there's roadkill, if a bear roadkill, you can keep the meat. So there's that story. Now there's a story coming out that in 2012, his 36-year-old daughter did an interview with Town and Country magazine. Alexandra Kick Kennedy. Her nickname is Kick. So Kick shares this story about her dad, RFK Jr., and a dead whale. He heard about a dead whale washing up on Hyannisport, Massachusetts. He's an environmental attorney, and he likes to study skeletons of animals. So she says she was 6 years old at the time. She says her dad, RFK Jr., takes the chainsaw and saws off the whale's head with the chainsaw and ties it to the roof of the family's minivan with a bungee cord, and then they take a five-hour trip back home. She said every time we accelerated on the highway, whale juice would pour into the windows of the car, and it was the rankest thing on the planet. We all had plastic bags over our heads with mouth holes cut out, and people on the highway were giving us the finger, but it was just a normal day-to-day kind of stuff for us. So, can you imagine? They accelerate and the whale juice is coming in the windows. Disgusting. All right, let's get to a break. If you're on hold, we are going to get to all of your calls, so just hang out. If you were not with us yesterday, I came up with a set of rules for calling the show. They're very reasonable. They're very fair, but it just sort of explains calling into our show. The rules are posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You can read them there. You can comment if you like. And next hour, didn't get to it this hour, but next hour, I'm going to share some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, which are always very fun and very lively. So guess who else was at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969? Country Joe and the Fish. Yeah, this was a song that, you know, represented a baby boomer generation's contempt for the U.S. government and the discontent with the continuation of the Vietnam War. And this was a song about going to war. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. It was Labor Day weekend, 1969, and a lot of the bands that performed at Woodstock, August 15th, 16th, and 17th, came down to New Orleans, and they were part of the New Orleans Pop Festival at the Louisiana Speedway, which, again, I don't think is still there. This was in Prairieville, Louisiana. It was labeled the New Orleans Pop Festival because, obviously, if you called it the Prairieville Pop Festival, it wouldn't have been as popular. But 20,000 to 30,000 people were there. I was among them. Some of you may have been there as well. Canned Heat was one of the bands that was at Woodstock, and then they came here to perform in the New Orleans Pop Festival. We'll continue featuring some of the music of the bands that were at the New Orleans Pop Festival. Also, I promise we're going to get to your calls, and we'll get to more of your texts coming up. It's Free for All Friday, beginning of Labor Day weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon, and we're coming right back on WWL. Very early in my radio career, I remember playing songs from this album. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1975, Rod Stewart's fifth album went to number one on the UK charts. It was titled Atlantic Crossing. This started off on this day in 1975 as the number one album. It stayed number one for 5 weeks. This was really interesting because Rod Stewart decided, because of an 83% top rate income tax introduced by the British Labour Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, that he was going to move to Los Angeles. So Atlantic Crossing was about the Atlantic crossing. And on that album, he had a couple of cover songs. This was a cover song. I think the Isley Brothers did this originally. And he also had a cover of Drift Away by Dobie Gray. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's do this. Let's get to a few of the text messages, which I know have been building up. So we'll get to Ian now with some of your text messages, then right back with some of your calls.
Here's a text that says, Harris's flip-flop on fracking is meaningless. The environmental nuts in her party will continue to fight it in the courts at every turn.
Well, you know, that's true, but there are the environmental nuts, the left-wing radicals, which we do talk about on this show. The left-wing radicals, they don't make as much noise as the right-wing radicals, but there are not enough of them to affect the outcome of the election. So Kamala Harris should not suck up to the progressives or the left-wing radicals. She should try to be more mainstream if she wants to win.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, you're lying again. There are six states that have no... Oh, shoot, where'd it go? Just moved around there a second. There are six states that have no gestational limits on abortion. That doesn't mean you can kill the baby after it's born, dummy.
Because after the baby's born, it's a person. So you can't kill a baby after it's born. So no state, I'm going to repeat it again, no state, again, this is like distorted misinformation that, you know, people want to come up to counter some of the things that we say, but no state allows the killing of a baby after it's been born.
That's not even like a donut hole.
No.
Like, oops, accidentally we made that law. Like,
no.
There is a law, the Born Alive Bill, which became law in 2002, that says any infant born alive must be provided medical care. Must be. That is the law in 50 states. So if a baby is born, it exits the womb, or there's a cesarean section or whatever, the baby must be given care.
There's a chronic complainer on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And I don't feel
an army of them.
Well, they're right. But one of them, her name is Jan. And by her picture, she looks like an attractive woman. I don't want to give out her last name. I mean, I could, but I just don't feel like, you know, doing that. I'll just keep it to Jan. I'll be respectful and keep it to Jan. But Jan keeps telling me that I'm lying, but she's not giving me any lie that I've actually told on the air. So, you know, I'm a little tired of that, you know, because if you disagree with me, if I say something that you don't like, that's not a lie. We don't lie on this show. We don't tell lies on this show. And if you can think of a lie that I've told, please let me know. And I know this is frustrating because people like Jan can't come up with a lie, but they're so quick to say, you're a liar. Well, come on, Jan. What's the lie that I've told?
Here's a text about the CNN interview that says the CNN interview was informative and coherent. The vice president showed everyone how to answer questions with grace and sufficient information that's expected of a vice president. Those MAGA folks calling for a vice presidential interview were not interested in facts or her platform. Facts go against their mental capacity. They're looking for talking points. And I predict that MAGA supporters will continue to gripe because that's what they do. Compare the vice president's interview to Trump's answers regarding his disrespect at Arlington National Cemetery, one of the most sacred places in the United States. The man lacks any moral integrity. He used his visit there in a campaign ad, something that's prohibited. As a veteran with friends, family interred in national ceremonies, Trump should never be allowed to set foot on such hallowed grounds for what he's said about veterans.
Yeah, and now he's trying to backtrack and blame it on somebody else.
He's trying to blame it on the families, man. I didn't have that on my bingo card. You're going to turn around and blame it on the Gold Star families that invited you there in the first place? He's sick.
Yeah, he really, there's some demented side of Donald Trump. And, you know, it would have been so classy for him to go do that. No pictures. And for him to come back and say, I laid a wreath on this grave.
Yeah.
And we did not take pictures because it's not allowed. And I did not want to disrespect the soldiers who are buried there. So we did not take pictures, but I just wanted to let you know that I did this. That would have been a really classy thing to do, but Donald Trump can't seem to work his way into doing something classy.
I'll leave you with this one. The rain is forecast for Decadence Weekend. It'll cool things down, but it'll play hell with the feather boa community. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Pity
too.
Anybody who's out there wearing a feather boa in the rain.
Decadence
Yikes.
Weekend is this weekend. And hey, don't freak out. They're not coming to your neighborhood. If you don't want to go, don't go. But, you know, don't criticize them for doing it. You don't have to be part of it. And if you're trying to tell them not to do it, then look yourself in the mirror and realize that you're one of those Americans that is trying to tell other Americans how to lead their lives.
They absolutely will be coming to my neighborhood. I'm afraid they'll be all over the place in my neighborhood. It's
going to
get nuts over there. It's going to get crazy.
If you live in the French Quarter, you can expect that sort of thing.
I signed up for that.
Yeah, you did.
I'll be all right.
All right, so Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, there's a bear story where he, you know, got the bear. There was a bear that was hit, and then he brought it to Central Park, and he was going to skin it, and then he was going to put the meat in his refrigerator because it's okay to, if a bear is killed by a car, if there's roadkill, the bear roadkill, you can keep the meat. So there's that story. Now there's a story coming out that in 2012, his 36-year-old daughter did an interview with Town and Country magazine, Alexandra Kick Kennedy. Her nickname is Kick. So Kick shares this story about her dad, RFK Jr., and a dead whale. He heard about a dead whale washing up on Hyannisport, Massachusetts. He's an environmental attorney, and he likes to study skeletons of animals. So she says she was 6 years old at the time. She says her dad, RFK Jr., takes the chainsaw and saws off the whale's head with the chainsaw and ties it to the roof of the family's minivan with a bungee cord, and then they take a five-hour trip back home. She said every time we accelerated on the highway, whale juice would pour into the windows of the car, and it was the rankest thing on the planet. We all had plastic bags over our heads with mouth holes cut out, and people on the highway were giving us the finger, but it was just a normal day-to-day kind of stuff for us. So, can you imagine? They accelerate and the whale juice is coming in the windows. Disgusting. All right, let's get to a break. If you're on hold, we are going to get to all of your calls, so just hang out. If you were not with us yesterday, I came up with a set of rules for calling the show. They're very reasonable. They're very fair, but it just sort of explains calling into our show. The rules are posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You can read them there. You can comment if you like. And next hour, didn't get to it this hour, but next hour, I'm going to share some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, which are always very fun and very lively. So guess who else was at the New Orleans Pop Festival, Labor Day weekend, 1969? Country Joe and the Fish. Yeah, this was a song that, you know, represented a baby boomer generation's contempt for the U.S. government and the discontent with the continuation of the Vietnam War. And this was a song about going to war. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. It was Labor Day weekend, 1969, and a lot of the bands that performed at Woodstock August 15th, 16th, and 17th came down to New Orleans, and they were part of the New Orleans Pop Festival at the Louisiana Speedway, which, again, I don't think is still there. This was in Prairieville, Louisiana. It was labeled the New Orleans Pop Festival because, obviously, if you called it the Prairieville Pop Festival, it wouldn't have been as popular. But 20,000 to 30,000 people were there. I was among them. Some of you may have been there as well. Canned Heat was one of the bands that was at Woodstock, and then they came here to perform in the New Orleans Pop Festival. We'll continue featuring some of the music of the bands that were at the New Orleans Pop Festival. Also, I promise we're going to get to your calls, and we'll get to more of your texts coming up. It's Free for All Friday, beginning of Labor Day weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon, and we're coming right back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.